Amen. Amen. Father, we just praise you and glorify you. We thank you, Father, for the times that we're in. And I thank you, Lord, for your leading. And I praise you and I glorify you that we are listening to you all the time, Lord. Not only that, Lord, we're part of your kingdom. And that being such, we listen to you, we fight like you, we pray like you do. And Father, we just thank you for all this wonderful time that you've got us in. Lord, thank you for placing it in us that when we pray, we don't go back on what we pray and speak the bad report, that we always speak the good report. And I praise you and I glorify you, Father, for putting that endurance in us, all of us, that when we pray a prayer for whatever it is, that we're going to stick right with it, stay right with it, and not talk against it from that point on. That we're going to speak and confess the good confession. And we praise you, Father, that we're going to do that. And we're not going to back up on that in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time with you, Lord. We praise you. We glorify you for your leading tonight. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who will guide and lead us and teach us, Lord, the things that you want us to go with. And, Lord, I thank you for doing that for all of us. We bind up, cast out all tormenting spirits that might want to interrupt our communications in Jesus' name. You are bound, and by being bound, you can't interfere with our communications with my brothers and sisters in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that we can have and will have a wonderful meeting tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? Nobody? Anybody got a testimony? Yeah, Andrew. Go ahead, brother.
I just want to thank the Lord for Father's Day weekend and my son and my son-in-law and my daughter taking me fishing. They all caught more fish than I did, and it was nice to catch fish again after so many years. So praise God. Thank you, Father, for that, for having all my children together. Amen.
Amen. Did you cook them? No.
We let them all go. We got about 20 fish. So.
I had a guy fishing me one time in a boat, and he caught this little old bass about that long, a little bitty thing. And he throwed it in the bucket where we keep our live. I said, "You going to keep that thing?" He told me, he said, "His eyes is open, ain't they?" I said, "Okay." He wasn't going to call nothing, man. He going to keep them all. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I went and visited my family last weekend. First time in a little more than 5 months, which was a long time for me. But anyway, and the biggest reason I went was my sister had the idea of just my brother and I and her taking my parents out for dinner for their anniversary. Their anniversary was Sunday, but we went Saturday. And that went well. One funny thing about that was when we went to say grace, my brother looks at me and he says, "If you call, I'll hang up." And I looked at him a second and I thought, "Oh, okay, I get it." So I said, "Okay." I said, "Hello, God." And then I proceeded with my prayer, you know. And then he went and, and, you know, he just said amen at the end. And I said, "Now, wait a minute. You were so supposed to say goodbye." You know, it was just a funny little thing, you know. Anyway, and It just went well. And before we went, my mom was saying about she bumped her head twice here lately, and ever since then she's been getting these headaches off and on. And so after a minute, I took a hold of her hand and I said, "Be healed in Jesus' name and command that pain to go." And my mom said something, I think, and I don't remember what it was, not much or whatever. And my sister piped in and said, "Remember I told you about when Missy prayed for me when my hip was bothering me, and she told me to keep saying, and by Jesus' stripes I'm healed." And I kept, she said she kept doing that, and then the next morning, the pain was gone. And I just thought, it was like, thank you, Lord, because I thought, the Lord sent the disciples out two by two, two witnesses, And so she backed me up on that, and I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, that those headaches are gone from my mom, and that she'll remember. You just constantly remind her of what Cindy and I spoke to her, Lord, which is the truth of your word, Lord, and that help her to only confess the good confession and not speak the bad report, Lord. I know it's hard for her, Lord, but just keep reminding her, Lord, and because she's how she was taught, And I thank you, Lord, that she's relying on you more and more, Lord. She's learning to rely on you more and more rather than just jump to pills or jump to a doctor or whatever. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, for build my mom and dad both faith more and more. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I was gonna go see Matt and Megan and little Ryder, my oldest son and his wife and little boy. And they came back Monday before that from Disney, and Megan, I think the next day or whatever, she wasn't feeling good, and then Matt wasn't feeling good, Ryder wasn't feeling good, and so Matt's, said he was going to cancel on me, because they weren't feeling good. And I said, "Well, let me know, when you feel better, if you're feel, whatever." And I was just praying and believing, So Matt said I could come over Saturday evening for a little bit. And I didn't get to see Megan. She was upstairs laying down the whole time, and so I was disappointed in that, but at least I got to see Matt and Ryder. So thank you, Lord. They're all feeling better. Megan, I texted her with her last yesterday. She was feeling much better. So thank you, Lord. And I think that's pretty much the eventful things or whatever. I was a little nervous about, a little concerned about how my sister and I would relate because of the whole Planet X thing. Anyway, but just to share a little bit about what she shared with me about her son. He had a DUI, and while he had his license suspended, he was caught speeding. So he had a court hearing on Monday about that. And before they saw the judge, the police officer and his lawyer agreed that, he would just get a fine of $300-something or whatever. And the judge was hesitant because when he got pulled over for DUI, he refused to be tested at first or whatever. And but anyway, thank you, Lord, for favor. We were praying about that, my sister and I, and we were praying about that. And he was, my sister took him to his court hearing, and he says afterwards, "Thank heavens." And Cindy says, "Thank God," and he goes, "Oh yeah, but anyway." So I thank you, Brett, Lord, that you're getting Brett's attention, Lord, and he's going to truly repent and turn his life over to you and find out that you know, things go much smoother and in your life when you let God make the decisions and you're obedient to him. And I just praise you and thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're back. Who's next? Hey, Pat. Hey, Monroe. Barbara. Glad everybody could make it tonight. All right. Anybody else got a prayer or testimony? Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
I just want to make a, is my, I think Michael's freezing up. Does everybody else see that? Where, yeah, you're frozen.
No, I'm not.
About every five seconds, you'll stop and then start moving again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me do this. Okay. Is that better? Not better. No.
So yeah. Far.
Okay. It might be on, I don't know. Probably not because I turned it off some time ago, so I don't know if it'll come back on again. No, it's not on. I was on the internet, but I got off. I had a song I was going to do, but I'll sing. All right, who's next? Okay, there is a song. Yeah, go ahead, Benita. Hey, Julie,
yeah,
look
I just
up.
Wanted to just.
That's My King with C.C. Winer. Go ahead, Benita. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I just wanted to pray a blessing over my daughter and the work she's doing. She took her transmission out of her van because it didn't have reverse. And so she took it out all by herself and she's got it all taken apart. She found out what was wrong with it. And now it's time to put it all back together. And my husband's very, very concerned. But she's watching a video and she's following it step by step. And so he's in his room and she's out in the garage and he can't really help her. And we're like, well, why don't we just put up a big screen TV for you and you can just watch her on, you know, FaceTime or something. So we might set that up so we can give her some guidance. But just Lord, just give her wisdom, help her follow that video step by step, and you just lead her and guide her, Lord. And we thank you that she's going to have a perfect transmission, and she's going to be able to go all the way to Alaska and back, and many, many more miles after that. In Jesus' name, thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. It seems to be a little delay here, doesn't it, with my recording, with my voice and everybody else's. Okay, in the name of Jesus right now, I come against that and I command it to cease right now and be in real time in Jesus' name. Let me check my settings here. How's that? Is that better? No. Yeah. Okay. So that's real time now. I'm talking now. You see me talking now? If I'm talking now, you need to be acknowledging that I'm talking. That's too late. That's 7, 8 seconds. Okay. Well, thank the Lord. It's fixed. One thing I did want to mention. I'll tell you something that the Lord told David and I today. He said, when you pray and you believe what you pray, you don't confess the bad report a day later. They said, well, I don't guess God heard me or anything like that. You keep confessing the good report until it manifests. Too many people say, well, I don't guess God's going to do anything. I don't guess this, no, just murmuring. And that's not what the wilderness trial is about. The wilderness trial is about enduring in your faith to see it happen. Enduring in your faith to the end. Well, I don't have any money. Well, you just confessed the bad report. Well, I prayed and the Lord hadn't given me any money yet. You just confessed the bad report. You just shut off God from doing what he said he was going to do. It is a trial of our faith right now. This is not sometime down the future. It's just like the Israelites in the desert. We can't go in there and take them giants. They're bigger than we are. Did the Lord not tell us we could? Yeah, but that don't, the Lord didn't know how big they was. Give me a break. You know, the Lord knows everything. He wanted to, he would strip them down if they had more than too many, if they had too many soldiers out there, he'd strip them down to bare minimum just to show them how good he was. The same thing with us. We just have to, and I, look, I'm preaching to myself too because I've gotten into some, you know, David and I both getting into some unbelief in certain areas. And, well, wonder why. You know, you just confess the bad report. Wonder why it happened. Wonder why this. Wonder why that. No, you ought to be saying, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you have given it to us. And I praise you for my house. I praise you for my vehicle. I praise you for my monies. I praise you for this. I praise you for my health. I praise you that I look like Jesus. I praise you, Lord, that I'm 30 years old. Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And that's what you do. Somebody says, you don't look like you 30. Don't make no, never mind. That's what Jesus said. I'm going by what he said. Not what you said. Don't make no, never mind. Mm-mm. Not the kid. I am 30 years old. Glory to God. That's the way God wants us to work, to act like. That's why this wilderness trial before the wilderness actually gets here is here. It's to, so that we can teach others how to hold that faith. Hold out in your faith. Hold out in your faith. When all else seems to be going to hell in a handbasket, you're sitting there, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you. Praise you, Father. We just praise you, Lord, because I know that we on top of the world, Lord of God, because we are riding your back. And that's the way he wants it. That's the way God wants it. He wants us to glorify him for the things that we need and what we want. Lord, I thank you for all them biscuits and gravy that I've got in the refrigerator that I can get down in the morning and have breakfast, you know, and invite anybody I want to because there's plenty of them. And there might just be three biscuits in there. Don't make no, never mind. Start pulling them out three at a time. That's right, Jenny. Those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion. We will not be moved. Amen. Okay, I'm going to get off the soap, but that's what the Lord told us. The Lord himself told us. He first told us in his word a number of times. What do you mean, what time? Oh, takes me a little bit, Matt. Takes me a little bit. Oh, my. Boy, I'd love to have it in the morning. Lord, thank you for putting some sausage in there so we can have biscuits and gravy in the morning. I got the biscuits. All right. What are biscuits and gravy? Monroe, if you ain't had biscuits and gravy, my friend, you ain't had it yet. You need to get saved. That's the best stuff in the mornings for breakfast that you ever have ever eaten, man. It is. That's right. Jimmy says you ain't lived yet, brother. It's good. It's biscuits. You know what biscuits are? And it's white gravy with Jimmy Dean hot sausage in it mixed in with it. Pour it over the biscuits. And you could put a half a gallon on them biscuit, boy, and it'd still be good. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Monroe, you make it up here, buddy, and I'll make it just for you. All right. Anyone else got something they'd like to share? What was, we got a song. This is a good song. Well, Barbara, that's cause you're from the north, huh? That's all I can say. You're just from the north. Matt, you like biscuits and gravy, don't you?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. It's good and good for you, little boys and girls. Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
I pulled up a picture of it. Can I screen share it for Monroe?
Yeah. Let's just for a second. Yeah. Let me see here. Okay, go ahead. Biscuits and gravy. I don't say nothing.
That's biscuits and gravy. And you don't need the little green stuff. But that's biscuits and gravy.
Yeah. They didn't put enough gravy on it, but yeah, that's it.
It's easy to make.
Oh, yeah. I might get in a quart jar when I make it. I mean, a half a gallon jar. All right. Julie, do you mind going ahead and play that? Okay, come on, Monroe. I'll be waiting on you, brother.
Yeah, did you give me share screen permissions?
Yeah.
Please.
I did that when I did Missy.
I grabbed the wrong screen. Hold on.
That looked like the right one. Okay.
Describe it, but I can contain it.
keep it to myself. There aren't enough colors to paint the whole picture. Not enough words to ever say what I found. My shepherd, my protector, that's my king, that's my rock, that's my anchor.
I like that song. Amen. All right. Anybody got anything else before we get into Hidden Manna? Hey, Jesse. Okay. Anybody remember where we were? I think I do. This was at the bar. Yeah. Everybody got a copy of Son of Perdition of Hidden Manna? Because chapter 14 of Hidden Manna. Okay. Everybody ready? I'm going to start at the top of the page on the, it is at the third page in the chapter. Jesus, as a type of the end-time man-child ministry, taught for 3.5 years and was betrayed by Judas, who fell away as the son of perdition. As a prophecy of the end, that 3.5 years would bring us to the middle of the tribulation, when the mark is given to us. As an abomination that makes desolate to those sons of perdition who receive it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, touching the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him, to the end that ye be not quickly shaken from your mind, nor yet be troubled either by spirit or by word or by epistle as from us, as that the day of the Lord is just at hand. Let no man beguile you in any wise, for it will not be except the falling away come first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. David says, in a few words, God is saying, do not be deceived. The Lord will not come for us until after the falling away reveals the son of perdition in our midst. And the word falling away from the Greek word apostasia or apostasy. And apostasy here means falling away from Christ. And a lost person cannot fall away. What does that do to once saved, always saved? That's out the window, isn't it? The son of perdition is among the Christians as he was in Jesus' day. In the falling away, the man of sin, the son of perdition, will be revealed. God is going to purge his church of the rebels and get the rest ready to meet the Lord. People who have been acting like Christians will not be able to act anymore because of great tribulation. Years ago, I prayed over my three sons and asked God to give them a dream or a vision concerning our future. God did this to all three, and Justin, my youngest son, received an open vision. He saw a great ship on the ocean filled with people. Some were dressed in white and were on the right side of the ship. Others in black were on the left side. A jet plane suddenly appeared, swooped down, and shot a rocket which blew the ship to pieces. Those dressed in black were not able to swim and sank. The people dressed in white swam around and built a new smaller ship from the pieces. They searched out a smaller motor and installed it on the new ship. The Lord showed me this was the proverbial gospel ship. That's awesome. Those in white on the right are the sheep, and those in black on the left are the goats, as Jesus separated them in Matthew 25 and 33. Listen, if somebody has a comment, just break in and stop me because I'm reading this and I can't see y'all. The white garments are the works of the Spirit, and the black garments are the works of the flesh. Romans 13 and 12. Cast off the works of darkness, that's the black garments, and put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the white garments. Make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Revelation 19 and 8. And it was given unto her that she should array herself in fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Revelation 3 and 5. He that overcomes shall thus be arrayed in white garments. And I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life. The water represents the curses written in the word, Deuteronomy 11, 26 through 28. Those in black sank under the curses of this world. The true identity of these will be revealed through tribulation because they will fall away and ultimately be destroyed in the day of the Lord. Noah was saved by the flood that destroyed the wicked. The flood of destruction proved who was a son of perdition. The new smaller motor is the new church government that will be raised up. So, can anybody see how that most of religion today, Christian religion today, are going to be left behind, if I can use that term? They're going to be lining up to take the mark because they don't have any faith. Nobody ever taught them about faith. They never even place it in themselves to reading the Bible, the Word of God, that shows them what faith is. And when the time comes, rather than starve to death, they're going to take the mark and get something to eat and die as a reprobate. Anybody got any questions or answers? John 17? Yeah, Ben, go ahead. Sorry.
So, just kind of rewind a little bit from, I've lost where it says it, but he says, don't be deceived. There will be the falling away first, and then would the man child come? Like, would the son of perdition be before the man child? Or should I be watching out for the son of perdition during the man child ministry?
Anybody got an answer? Let me ask you a question. Do we have a falling away going on right now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So the Magi is able to come in. Listen, the major part of Christianity right now is in false deception. Most of them believe once saved, always saved, and they're going to be raptured out of here before the tribulation. That's the majority of the mainline denomination. Even the full gospel ones believe that. Most of them, not all of them. So we're in apostasy now. We're in great apostasy. So the reason that God is going to have the wilderness is to shake his elect out of those churches, because they're going to see people like y'all going out there with signs and wonders following you. And they're going to say, well, we don't do that in our church. What's the deal here? And they're going to come ask you, and you're going to be able to tell them, well, the Word of God says plainly, if you have faith and you believe what you pray, you're going to have it. And it says in 1 Peter 2:24 that by his stripes you're healed. And all of those scriptures that we use when we go out and we talk to people, you're going to be able to use them to bring people to Christ with the signs and wonders that follow. That's what the gospel is going to be like in the days ahead. And that's what God said for us to get rid of the distractions and get in the Word of God. Don't quit fooling around with the world. The world is not going to save you. It's only going to be God that does it. And those who do that are the ones that are going to be in the bride and the man-child ministries. They're going to be bringing other people into the kingdom. And this is going to be the greatest revival that the world has ever seen because of a few people that gave it all to him, surrendered their life to him. And that's what he's been telling us for months and months and months and months. No distractions, no YouTube, only Jesus. That's what he told me. I hope that answered your question, Ben.
I guess I'm just more wondering all of these false miracles that these false prophets are going to be doing that are going to deceive the elect. I guess I'm just a little curious. I know I'm discerning them by their fruits and how they're going to be carrying their own little ministry. But it just, I don't know. Yeah, I guess I just kind of answered my own question, and I keep answering my own question whenever I bring this up. But I don't know. It's a scary thing that they're also going to deceive the elect. And so we really got to get our discernment up and our distractions off our mind and really register what is true, what isn't.
Yeah, the Lord has told us always pray for wisdom and discernment. Always pray for wisdom and discernment. That discernment will keep you alive. Yeah, Benita. I'll get back to you, Judy.
I was just something Ben just said. He said that it was going to deceive the elect, but I don't think the elect are deceived. The called can be deceived, but the elect, what does it say? It says that it could possibly deceive the, what are the words? I can't remember. It doesn't actually deceive the elect, just the called. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Missy. Go ahead. I think we're fixing to get jumped on here. Go ahead, Julie.
Something that's come to my mind is that the falling away is going to happen throughout the whole tribulation. It's happening now throughout the whole tribulation. And the verse that Benita was mentioning there and quoting there is, if possible, that the elect would be deceived. If it were possible that the elect would be deceived. And so is it possible for the elect to be deceived? I believe that this is my own personal thought on that, is I have been deceived about things. I have been deceived, but ultimately, will I be ultimately deceived to the end and lose my salvation? No. Because we all are deceived about things because we all, have a knowledge of stuff that we thought were true, and then God changes our mind. He corrects us, and and then we come out of that deception. But I think it's the ultimate losing your salvation and ultimately being deceived. I think that's what it means in that scripture, but that's just my thoughts on it.
Yeah, Missy.
There's two scriptures that says about that, Matthew 24:24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. And Mark 13:22, for there shall arise false Christs, false prophets and shall show signs and wonders that they may lead astray, if possible, the elect. They're very, very close to the same thing.
Well, what does that mean?
If possible.
What does that mean?
Deceive. Well, if possible, the elect. I mean, it's saying that if you really are the elect, you won't be led astray.
What is the elect? That's the one that God has
chosen.
Right?
Yeah. Those that endure to the end, the same shall be saved.
So what we're saying here, it looks like what he's saying here, is that it's possible the elect could be, it's going to be some great deception out there. Great deception. And if you're not rooted and grounded in the Word of God, and around people that are, you could be deceived. Yeah, Judy. Or Ben.
I think some of the deception out there is people looking for that, those great signs and wonders that are just like, wow, wow, wow kind of thing. Like AI and, computer generated imagery and that kind of stuff, where they think it looks real because they're so. My think is everyone is so, uses the electronic devices so much that that's what they're glued to, that's what they know, and that's how they get so much of their information and entertainment, and they're deceived by that, right? But isn't the real signs and wonders are the same works that Jesus did, his disciples did, as to do things that, it's only God can do, So anyway, that's part of the deception, I think, is the supernatural things that they're doing with aliens with computer-generated technology and that kind of stuff. I think that's part of the deception. Probably. So like Michael
Probably
said,
so.
Amen. It's got to stay rooted in the word. Yeah. Amen.
Probably so. Yeah, Bill.
Just something came to my mind when everyone's sort of explaining all this. And it was in my head. I was like, how am I going to register if these signs and wonders are going to be from God? And then we all know that there's a bunch of ministries out there that have that has the gifts of tongues, but they still have false doctrine. And so you can kind of discern, like, yeah, sure, they have a gift and they have these things going on in their church, but we can discern what's right and what's wrong. They could just have false doctrine. You know, we can't really judge them too much if they're just being led astray, the small little sheep that are being led astray. So we can discern, even though they have these gifts, they have these, maybe even some prophecy, but we'll just discern it with the discernment that we're given by God, because we seek the truth. And by his grace, he gives us knowledge like, hey, this may look cool, this may sound cool, but nah, that's not it. So we'll go to somewhere else. We'll go to the Word of God before we trust in whatever they're doing, I guess.
Well, I give you, for instance, that in 94 with the Pensacola revival, I don't know how many thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people that went to it and were deceived by that false revival, because it was an Assemblies of God that it happened to him. And you know why it happened in Assemblies of God? It's because their doctrine was that Christians can't have demons. And they welcomed the Kundalini spirit in them. And there you go. They just went off. And what happened? Well, the church shut down. The people that were running it ran off with the money. And just all kinds of silly stuff. So the discernment comes when you stay in the Word and ask the Lord for discernment. He'll give it to you. The thing to do right now, here's what I would recommend that everybody do, is get that close connection with the Lord. Get that time. Spend time with the Lord every day. Spend time alone with the Lord every day and ask him. You know, Lord, talk to me. Just talk. I'm going to talk to you if you talk to me. And he'll talk to me. I've said this before on here. It's like he told me. He said, get you a notebook and a pen. Sit down. Close your eyes and believe that Jesus is sitting right across from you. And start talking to him. And he'll start talking to you. Immediately. And do it every day. Remember that guy we talked about, I can't even remember his name, but he was a preacher. He was very busy. And the Lord asked him, he said, would you spend some time with me every day? He said, I haven't gotten anybody to just sit down and talk with every day, you know. He said, sure, Lord, I'll do that for you. And he had to do it early in the morning. And he did it for a year, and the Lord came to him in person. And told him, he said, from now on, you're going to be able to see me in person because of your faithfulness and you did what I asked you to do. That's all it is obedience. Is obedience. Yeah, Benita.
I was just going to say, similar to what you said with the false revivals and David's teaching just recently on that. And he was just talking about simple little things like, you know, Jesus didn't ask for money. He didn't wear fancy suits. He didn't, just all these things that aren't Jesus. And they're so easy to identify when you know Jesus, you know, and it was just such silly things, like, you know, he just things he didn't do that they're doing in the false revival. They didn't ask, he didn't ask for money. He didn't, I don't know. He just did it so simply. He just said it and it was done. He didn't make big show of anything. And just knowing that, that all that is just false and deception and just entertainment, money laundering, yeah, just all that. That's not what, because he's not in entertainment. He's not there for entertainment. You go, it's two by two. I mean, it's like you're sent out two by two with nothing. You're not to take anything with you. You're not to have any food. And, you know, just that's how he's sending people out. That's how he sent the disciples out.
Yeah.
And that's what David was saying in that teaching. And it just clicked to me. And that's why I'm bringing it up. It's like, oh, it was just that simple. You can identify it because Jesus didn't do those things you guys are doing.
Absolutely. The thing that's going on here is everybody's helping everybody else. That's what the wilderness is about. That's what Christianity is about. You give up everything to help everybody else, you know. That's what's going on. Yeah. And that's why the bride in the man-child ministry is going to be able to straighten out a lot of messes that the apostate churches have put out there. I'm reading today. Today I was reading where a preacher, I won't mention his name, was going, he wanted to have, when he was preaching it, he wanted to, and he's got a $58 million Learjet that seats, I don't know how many, but he wanted one bigger than that. And so he's calling it forth, you know, this is not big enough. It's outdated and da, 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 you know, I'm going to get me another one. And it's just craziness. Why do you need a jet when you've got people all around you suffering? For goodness sake. Anyway, God's going to fix it. Let's see. Did we answer your question, Ben? Pretty good. You left out. Oh, there you are. Okay, but all I saw was that picture.
We're all good here.
Okay. Yeah, Andrew. Go ahead, bro.
As for these false signs and wonders, I was told once by the ministry, if it ain't a deliverance, if it ain't a healing, and if it ain't a provision, what is it? You know, I was there when they were talking about gold teeth fillings. Well, that's no good. Real teeth are better. I was told about gold dandruff. Like, what's that? You know, like, what kind of head and shoulders do you want for that? Do you even want to use head and shoulders? Anyways, I don't ever remember Jesus levitating anything, you know. I was, you know, even leery about when people used to fall backwards, because, you know, they all fell backwards when they came to take Jesus in the book of John. But, you know, usually when they were in the presence of the Lord, they fell forward. I'm sure Paul fell forward when he was there on his road to Damascus in a prostrate way. I'm not sure about that one, but, you know, I remember I had two preachers talking about something in one of the churches that I was in. And he said to the church preacher, this was the visiting preacher, he said, there they go again. They're all going to the front for the gift of tongues, and nobody's getting any prophecy. Why is that? And the other preacher said, yeah, I noticed that too, you know, like they never prophesy. They're always speaking in tongues. And I just thought about that, you know, because we all know some of the prophecy of pre-trib. So maybe that's not why they're not prophesying. And this tongues is a good thing because it's keeping them till they get corrected by the Lord. I don't know. Anyway, but, you know, over there in Matthew, it says, and pray that your flight be not in winter. This is Matthew 24:20. So in the winter, there's no fruit on the tree, and you always want to be growing with the Lord, neither on the Sabbath. The Sabbath, you can't walk too far, and you can't do any of your works on the Sabbath. Your work is to rest, so you rest in the Lord. And then shall be great tribulation. And of course, they think they're not going to be here for great tribulation, such as not been from the world's beginning until now. No, nor ever shall be. And except those days had been shortened, no flesh, and I'll remind you of Galatians 2:20 about flesh there, would have been saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So, and plus the word says that the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up with them. So there has to be some flesh that go from mortal to immortality. And if any one of you, and if any one say to you, lo, here is the Christ, or here, believe not. So they're going to be coming to you, still trying to evangelize you in that day to come to their church, you know, to come to, we got Christ over here. For false Christs shall arise and false prophets. Now, the prophets, I believe, have to build up, exhort, and to console. So if you get a consolation that is not a consoling, but it's just not the truth, you know, it's not in accordance to what the word says, if you get a warning that's not a real warning, then where are you at, you know? For false Christ shall arise and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders so that to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Lo, I have told you before. And if he tells you before, you know, then you have to have a formula as to what is false and what is a false Christ. And he tells you in John, 1 John chapter 4, the first six verses on how to discern, he tells you right in the verses that he just read at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2, there's a discernment right in that line there. And a big discernment is the falling away has to come first, as opposed to the four different lands that are in chapter 13 of Matthew. You got that first land and they don't know their salvation. So, and then you got the second and third land. They know of their salvation, but they're not bearing proper fruit. And then you got the fourth land, which is the land that bears fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the land. A meek person does what the boss says, and the boss is God the Father and Jesus Christ. So, yeah, you have to find out what he wants. If there's any discrepancy, you know, if God's giving you a discrepancy now, showing you that they have these doctrines that are according to letter and not spirit, If they're going to start telling you they're going to build a temple over there in that physical nation, and you know that there's no business in building a physical temple because God's not going to enter into it, even if it's beautiful, and they use pure gold to make it. Forget that. And if therefore they shall say to you, lo, he is in the wilderness, go not forth. Lo, in the inner chambers, believe not. Why? Because for just as the lightning cometh forth from the east and is seen even unto the west, so shall the presence of the Son of Man be. And of course, that's the lightning, and that's light. And we have a lamp within our temple that shows us the seven lights. And if it doesn't pass the light test, I would wonder if it doesn't pass the blood test of there are three, the spirit, the water, and the blood, then I'd be leery. If it's not the spirit, it's not the spirit. If it's not the water, it's not the word. If it's not the blood of the lamb, it's not, you see. And and wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. Well, the eagles are, I believe that's a rapture verse right there. They're going to take these dead men who have died in Christ, and those who are alive and remain are dead men too, since they died to their flesh. And the eagles will be gathered for them on the last day to take them up into heaven. And of course, you know, the coming of the Son of Man, and straightway after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Well, that's the shaking that the Lord does for the last part of the tribulation, because through much tribulation, you must enter the kingdom. And even though the people who go through the great tribulation, who are brothers and sisters, the saints, have already been corrected, and they know that their time is coming at the end, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds, and of the heaven, with power and great glory. And I believe they're going to really mourn, because they're going to suddenly realize, why else would they say, when they hide themselves in the caves and in the dens in the rocks, to fall on us, to hide us from this one who's coming, as it says in Revelation. And he shall send forth his angels with a great trumpet. That's the last trump. That's 11:15 of Revelation. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the heaven's ends unto their ends. And there's just so much here that when you read this, and you read the other verses that are supposed to lead you to these things, the blessings, the Sermon on the Mount, you know, there's treasure there. And there's treasure there, and then there's treasure in chapter 5 of James. You know, we can't serve two masters, the Lord and Mammon, and he's talking about treasures just before that, and the light too, you know. So there's some verses that you would think would be very simple, but they're not, you see, because there's a lot written in there, you know. You have the, you know, your garments are moth-eaten. I don't know, when I read that today, I thought about this Virginia Mothman, you know, like, how come only Americans are seeing this? Anyways, maybe there's some truth to that, because you don't want your garments, you don't want to be moth-eaten, you know? So there's a verse like that, and there's quite a bit there, you know, that they have in James there about, I pulled my glasses off, so now I can't see. I can see fine.
Yeah, I'm fixing the slide.
Anyway. so we have this, I wrote something at the end of chapter 5 in my James book, and this was years ago. Careful, there is much division and causing faction in the church today. Many a people have things they call faith, even doctrine, the grace or the glory of God, which is not. These people are in the sects of the church as it is called and known by them. They know a sect. We want to know Jesus. We want to know the Father. We want to know him like it says in 1 John 4 and 7, after you do your test in the first 6 verses. And we need to have love for that. So even in the time of Jesus, he tried to teach such people in the Jewish sects, people with the spirit of the word, versus those coming back to him with the letter of the word. Yeah, you know, we have that in 2 Corinthians 3 and 6 and Romans 2:29. And also the Sabbath and the temple and the beast. They don't know who what these things represent today in the spirit, not the letter. They also put people under the law or just have the wrong doctrine or a law of their own, which they make sound like the law of God because they use this, his word wrongly. So, there's these things that go on in the church. And you know, my brethren, if any among you err from the truth, this is the last verse, and you've been refreshed on this from where you came from by the Lord. And if my brethren, if any among you err from the truth and one convert him, know that who converteth a sinner from the error, and this error is an error that's a spirit, like it says in 1 John 4 and 6. There's the spirit of error and the spirit of truth there. So you've been corrected. Don't say you haven't, because you have. If not, you're going to get smacked again. Anyway, but that's not from me, but Father loves you. Anyway, and that's the only way I'll put it. No, know that who converteth a sinner from the error of his ways shall save his soul from death and shall cover a multitude of sins. So praise and glory to God. There's some really end time prophecy in this James book, which some people may overlook. And take a second look. There's good stuff there. No. I don't know how much more I can put it. You know, how does it apply to your situation? And, I'm still waiting on the Lord for lots of things, you know. Until you look like a son of God, you got to wait to be a son of God. And God said he would restore you. He is restoring you. Maybe it's just a lot of word we need to know until he restores the other things too. Because he's working on your vessel, just like he worked on the vessels of all his disciples. Peter needed some correction. And it's because of the lack in the church and the 40,000 different denominations with our divisions, you know. I tell you, it'd take more than a lifetime to go through them all to try and find the right one. But a denomination didn't call you. And that should be a big one right there. A denomination didn't call you. You may have been called in a denomination. I got called at work. Some people get called at home when they read their Bible. Some people get called because people pray for them and they get a nice dream. So, I'm not limiting the Lord on what he can do. It's the follow-up. We have to do the follow-up. So praise and glory to God. And thank you, Father, for the little things. Thank you, Father, for the big things. continue with me, Father. I feel sometimes as if I'm not up to par, and that's your job, Father, to help me. You called me, and you're going to finish this good work you started in me. Praise and glory to you, Father God, and praise and glory and thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross for me and for my brothers and sisters. Amen. And I'm kind of too zealous and not compassionate and tender-hearted. So, and I make my own mistakes. I made them with in front of Ben, even, and my children and my family and everything. And I'm in good company because he rebuked Peter and said something real nasty to him. So he can rebuke me all he wants, and I thank him for that. Because he even Jeremiah asked God for a spanking, so you should too. Because he said, oh Lord, I know the way of man is not, oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in his, himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Oh Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. So, We like our correction. We depend on God as a father. He's the father. You're the son. We have to follow his footsteps. Praise and glory to God. He teaches us to walk. We fall down, we get back up. Praise God. Anyways, I hope that helped a little bit. Praise God.
Yeah, helped a good bit. Let's take a break here right quick and pray with pray for Carrie. She's dealing with some depression now. So if y'all would believe with me, I'll pray for her and God's going to set her free. In the name of Jesus right now, I come against this depression. I command it to go from her right now in the name of Jesus. You don't have a right in the temple of God, depression. Go now in the name of Jesus. And I bind you from coming back in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that she is completely healed, delivered, and set free from that spirit. And I command every other spirit that's tormenting her to leave her right now. In the name of Jesus, I don't care what you call yourself, you leave that temple of God right now in Jesus' name. Now, Terry, you be healed and be whole and be delivered in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe it. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. And I praise you, Father, that it is done for my sister. She is completely free of depression, oppression, and any other kind of name that it wants to call itself. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. She is healed and whole right now in Jesus' name. Everybody believe that? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Terry, you're delivered. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Just jump up and down and praise God, Terry. That's what I do when I get mine. Jump up and down and praise God. And believe what you pray. Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate all of that. That was good. Anybody else? All right. I'm going to continue on if nobody's got a question or an answer. Thank you, Lord, for delivering my Terry. John 17 and 12. While I was with him, I kept him in thy name, which thou hast given me. And I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. David says, among the people of God in the coming days, not one will perish, but the son of perdition. What happened in Judas's day is going to happen in this day. Look at the signs in the gospel, because they are going to be fulfilled again. Ecclesiastes 1 and 9. That which hath been is that which shall be, that which hath been done, is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. If what you see of your revelation of the end time doesn't fit into history, it's wrong. Throw it out. Those who fall away in this day are revealed to be the son of perdition. Hidden in the body is the next one. John 13:17. If you know these things, blessed are ye if you do them. Verse 18, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. In other words, Judas was not chosen because he would not do the things Jesus spoke. The lawless can be called, but will not be chosen. For many are called, but few chosen. And that word chosen is the word electos, where we get the word elect. Jesus was called to partake of Christ, but chose to follow his flesh. John 13:18. But that the scriptures may be fulfilled, he that eats my bread lifts up his heel against me. Judas ate Jesus' bread with the disciples and then betrayed him. This also identifies the mixed multitude. In our day, the body of Judas will eat Jesus' bread and then betray the body of Christ. Verse 21, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in the spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. The disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Matthew 26:22. And they were exceeding sorrowful and began to say unto him, every one, is it I, Lord? Is it I? Is it me? Is it going to be me? Obviously, the son of perdition, the man of sin, was as well hidden to the others as he is today. When Jesus sent out the 12 to do the miracles, don't you think they would have suspected Judas if he hadn't done any? This is why the son of perdition has to be revealed in our day. He does the religious works, and for a time he can hide his lack of fruit. Tribulation is necessary to reveal and separate him from the body. He is a cancer in the body of Christ. Any questions or any thoughts on this? Okay. Judas' hidden lust overcame him when he was tribulated. For silver, personal gain, he sold out the body of Christ. He was secretly a thief who stole from the common purse, John 12:6. He had no concern for the brethren's need, only his own. The son of perdition still takes what belongs to Jesus and his disciples for himself. Jesus and the disciples had all things common, a practice that continued in Acts 2:44, 4:32. Luke 14:33 says, so therefore, whosoever he be of you that renounces not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. We must renounce ownership of our possessions, rights, and will to be a disciple. We are merely stewards of these things for Jesus and the brethren. True disciples steward common possessions, rights, and will to see that all needs are met. Every member of a body, eyes, ears, arm, etc., serves the body. 1 Corinthians 6:19, and ye are not your own, for ye were bought with a price. Glorify God, therefore, in your body. John 13:26. Jesus therefore answers, he it is for whom I shall dip the sop and give it him. So when he had dipped the sop, he takes and gives it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. And after the sop, then entered Satan into him. Jesus therefore saith unto him, what thou doest, do quickly. When Judas ate the sop, and Satan entered into him, he manifested became the son of perdition. The Lord spoke to me plainly years ago and said, sop, S-O-P, son of perdition. The sop was a was a morsel of bread that was used, that was a biscuit, used to sop up the gravy, the liquid food. We must eat the bread of Christ, the word, to bear fruit. But it also makes us responsible. John 15:22, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they have not had sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Judas was reprobated because he knew too much of the word to get away with what he did. Many are being hardened today because when they hear the word, they do not repent. Psalm 41:9. Now, boy, that's a big one. Psalm 41:9. Yes, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his ear against me. Boy, I've seen this happen so many times. So many times. And it's heartbreaking to see. Okay, anybody got any thoughts on what we just read? Yeah, Andrew.
I remember someone telling me once he had the entire body of Jesus Christ before him, but he ended up just with the little piece of bread and the sop that he wanted. He didn't want Jesus. I don't know if that helps anyone. You know, he just had a little piece of Jesus and a little bit piece of the wine, I guess, to sop it up. But he didn't want the full thing right before him. Just a thought. Praise God.
Well, isn't that the way most of the religion is today? They just want what they can do and go ahead and sin and do the things that they want to do and rebel against the Lord. That's what I see. I see a lot of that. And you go to question them about it. I have question them about, well, what about the word of God that says, you know, they don't even think that you can walk holy. It's that the whole denominations don't think that you can walk holy when the Lord says, you know, be ye holy even as my Father in heaven is holy. Golly, I don't know how they get around all of these, well, I do too, because people don't read the Bible. That's what I say. People don't read the Bible and try to find out that you read the Bible and then you do the Bible as you read it, like David says.
Can I just make a comment here?
Well, sure.
How far away is righteousness? How far away is righteousness from holy? It's kind of a weird statement, but, you know, and perfection. And the love you need for perfection. Yeah. There's a real cool verse I found. I did write it down somewhere. That there's a verse that has love and perfection in it at the same time. It's really neat. Anyway. So.
Well, what does it take to be sanctified? And sanctified means holy, clean. What does it take to be sanctified? Nobody knows the verse. Nobody? Or I am not. Go ahead, Jenny. I was going to say it, but you may not have it.
Did you ask what does it take to be sanctified?
Yeah, there's a verse that we all know.
We're supposed to repent and believe confess the good confession of who we are in Christ Jesus and let the Lord bring it to pass in us. Is that what it is? We all with an unveiled face behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are being transformed yep. into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of God.
Romans 1:16.
I died and I was crucified with Christ Jesus in that one too. Yeah.
For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith. You're sanctified by faith. We're all sanctified by faith. There's nothing that we can do other than obey the Lord and obey the word. When you obey the Lord and obey the word, you've done it. It's not that we have to wait to be sanctified. You're being sanctified even as you walk right now. If you believe. Somebody else had their hand up. Who was it? Did you miss it? Nope. Okay. I lost my place. What was it? The word Judas is a Hebrew meaning to use the hand. I think I read that. Okay. God definitely used the hand of Judas, for Jesus told him, what thou doest, do quickly. Acts 2:23, him being delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye by the hand of lawless men did crucify and slay. Lawless here is the same Greek word as in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, where the son of perdition is called the man of sin or lawlessness. God used the hand of a man of lawlessness to crucify the body of Christ, and in these days it's going to be the same. Our greatest enemy is the man of lawlessness that is among the people of God. From the beginning, Jesus knew Judas would fall away. Jesus said, did not I choose you, the 12, and one of you is the devil? John 6:70. Remember, the son of perdition must fall away and be a Judas to the body before the Lord can come. That's when it's going to happen. Acts 1:25, to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas fell away, that he might go to his own place. Iscariot is made up of two words, IS, which is Hebrew for man, and CARIOT, Cariot, which is Babylonish or Chaldean for city. So Judas Iscariot means to use the hand of a man, city. And this shows us that the son of perdition is a corporate body of people in our day who are a part of the city of Babylon. And as far as Christians are concerned, he is a part of the great Babylonish religious city in these days. Judas represented the city of the fallen away that is guilty of the blood of the saints, Revelation 17:6, 18, and 24. He was in league with the Sanhedrin, the corporate false prophet over the apostate people of God. Yep, he sure was. Go ahead, Andrew.
I just was going to make a question because he talked about Babylon here. Does anyone know where this Babylonish city is right now? And do they have any Christians in there? Just making a mention of some. Well, you know, there is a huge mystery Babylon now, and there's quite a bit of association with religion lately that happened in the year 2000. Does anyone know where this city is now and the these poor people that are in bondage to them that we would hope would come out of there?
All over the world.
So I'm just asking that question. Yeah. You know, there's a Babylon, a mystery Babylon, the mother of all harlots and abominations of the earth. We should know where that mystery Babylon is just by the golden head, the silver arms, the brass, the iron and clay, the 10 toes. And what do you need for that? You know, where is that now? And who's just the same way these Jewish people were led captive to say Caesar is our king. And also, what would they be saying something similar today, some of these Christians? And what do they hear? Who do they follow? You know, who do they listen to? So just mentioning something there to think about. Praise God.
Amen. Anybody got any thoughts on that? I know what he's leading to. Hold me. All right. Anybody got any thoughts? What is David called? What's David called Babylon? Go ahead, David.
Backing up to where you said, where it's written there that our greatest enemy is the man of lawlessness that is among the people of God. From the beginning, Jesus knew Judas would fall away. Jesus said, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil?" John 6:70. Remember, the son of perdition must fall away and be a Judas to the body before the Lord come. So we're still waiting based on that, you know, what's written there and what we're believing for. So this is worldwide, right? So, I mean, it's the body's still being sanctified. The body's still being cleaned up of the son of perdition before the Lord comes, right?
But just remember that the sun, all of these entities of the end times are corporate bodies. All of them are. So go ahead, Jenny.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering how, you know, we're waiting. We're waiting for the Lord. We're waiting for all this to take place and for, you know, even for our own selves, you know, to be sanctified, you know, and to make our house clean and all those things. So. How should we be praying regarding that the Lord continue just to expose all the corruption and get and do that work? You know, is that how Absolutely. Really we should be praying about that kind of thing?
Okay. I would be praying something for discernment in the body and for yourself, and also to reveal to you and to others these sons of perdition that are among us already. They're among us already. It's not something that's going to happen. It's happening. Yeah, Andrew.
Well, there's this one verse, one sentence he says here. Judas represents the city of the falling away, that is guilty of the blood of the saints. Now, I remember when we were studying Proverbs, we noticed that some of these people were guilty for the blood of the saints because they didn't actually kill anybody. You know, they were killing people because of the words they used, you know, and it's there in Proverbs. I remember we studied it. It was mentioned, you know, and we got through Proverbs 1 and 2, I believe, or. And they're guilty of the blood of the saints. And what kind of blood are you supposed to have, you know? Because we are partakers of the body and the blood. No, there's a verse somewhere again. I wrote this verse not too long ago on a sheet of paper. Oh, I must have it here somewhere, you know. So we're partakers of the blood and the Well, I can't find it because I've got quite a few verses here, but it does say that we are partakers of the body and blood of Christ, and we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. So, what would be killing a person without actually physically killing him, but killing him spiritually, is what I wanted to get to. And because you know you can be caught in something all your life. And it could cause the loss of your life if God doesn't interfere with correcting them. So I'm just saying it that way. Anyway, praise God.
Well, I can tell you from experience how it happens is that you can infect people with your demons, and they will follow you to the death. I've seen that happen numerous times right here. That's what's happened. They get caught up in faction. And that factious demon will take over a whole family and anybody that listens to them. And it takes them out spiritually and reprobates them. And some spiritually and physically has happened. And it's just heartbreaking to see, but I can see where that would be working even now. It's working now. And these are people who professed to love Christ. But they get to a certain level that they can't go in it. They can't fight their flesh anymore and won't do it, won't fight it. And they're taken out by God. And it's only through the grace of God that people come back to them. And praying, people praying for them. But yeah, I can see that happening all over. All right, anybody else got something they want to comment on? That's one of the reasons that God tells us not to even eat with them or greet them. It's that infectious. And I'm not going to go in. We've had this discussion before. So go ahead, Pat. That's just one instance of it.
So I'm trying to, I guess, put that piece together where he's saying in that paragraph, said, what thou doest, do it quickly, or Acts 2:23, him being delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye by the hand of lawless men did crucify and slay. He's talking about what lawlessness is. But he said, God used the hand of a man of lawlessness to crucify the body of Christ in these days. In these days, it will be the same. Our greatest enemy is the man of lawlessness that is among the people of God. So from the beginning, Jesus knew Judas would fall away. Jesus said, did I not choose you? And one is a devil. And then he says, remember the son of perdition must fall away and be a Judas to the body before the Lord can come. So Judas betrayed Jesus and he was crucified. So what does he mean that the son of perdition must fall away and be a Judas to the body before the Lord can come? Is that meaning that the man-child will suffer crucifixion and enter into the resurrection life of Christ, or dwell in the resurrection life? Is that what he is talking about before the Lord can come? Because obviously Judas was instrumental in having Jesus crucified or killed on the cross. But this is saying that when Judas performs his purpose, that has to be done before the Lord can come. I'm trying to put that piece together, which, you know, it looks like it's Judas is acting as Judas, but in that action facilitated the crucifying of Jesus, not the coming of Jesus. So I don't know if I'm maybe creating a question more than I'm answering, but I'm trying to put that piece together. What is it that makes or allows the Lord to come through the process of this Judas? Do you understand what I'm asking here?
I think so. You're wanting to know, if this is the man child that we're waiting on, that the Judas has to be shown before that? Is that what you're asking?
I get you. I don't know what I'm asking, quite frankly, unfortunately. I'm trying to put the pieces together. I'm trying to think of, is this crucifixion necessary before the Lord will be revealed, I guess? Is this the Lord being revealed in the body, in the bride, in the man-child? Is this Jesus being, his life being revealed as a result of the crucifixion that took place prior?
Yeah. Go ahead, Judy.
Well, I think I know what you're asking, or what you're thinking, Todd, is that the scriptures had to be fulfilled. Everything that was written in the prophets and the Psalms and all that about And part of that was that, you know, him that did eat with me lifted up his heel against me. Well, I can't remember where that scripture is there. But, you know, everything had to be fulfilled in prophecy. And that was part of the prophecy to be fulfilled, that he had to be crucified and given up, you know, the way he was. And you know, Michael can probably share more than, you know, us being there the way he has been and all that. It is a crucifixion to, you know, your flesh, that, you know, these things happen and you have to obey the scriptures and you have to love them, you know, because I think there's been several dreams and revelations and stuff of people who have fallen away, that they know that they're Judas and they still have to treat them the same way and give them every opportunity to repent and to prove themselves to be, you know, not a tare, but, you know, the good seed kind of thing. And it is a crucifixion to your flesh when you have to, you can't say anything. You can't, you know, except try to minister to him when you can or whatever. And that's part of the crucifixion to the man child. And we all go through our, you know, good people we love and trust or whatever, you know, they spitefully use you and they say things and do things to you that you got to turn the other cheek, you know, as part of our persecution, crucifixion. So I don't know if that's, you know, I think it all fits together, that the crucifixion and the son of lawlessness being revealed within the body, because we all go through this to be obedient to the word, right? You know, but it's just not our group. You know, we've seen people come and go, sadly, you know, but it's worldwide, like, you know, it's the corporate thing that everyone's got to go through that. I don't know if that helps you, you know, the whole thing or not. I don't know if I said that
well,
right.
Let me just answer this question. Can the man child come before the son of perdition shows himself? Well, the son of perdition has already showed himself. So the man child ministry can come anytime. Matter of fact, it can come today if it wants to, because everything has been fulfilled in order for him to go ahead and get anointed by the Lord and come and show himself. Like Julie said, there has already been crucifixions all over the world. We got people being killed in many places. And people being persecuted in many places. And these are parts of the bride and the man child. People even close to, one group I know about, had a couple of men that just went against them and went against the people of God and sided with the other side, and they were killing folks out of the ministry. This is overseas. This is overseas. Same thing is happening here. Same thing is happening here. People that have left the ministry got mad for whatever reason, because they couldn't see him when they wanted to and get away with it in this particular fellowship. And they just, the main goal was to destroy the ministry. Main goal. That's persecution. That hurts. It hurts a lot. And like I said a while ago, the man child can show any time, really, because this has been going on for ever since I've been here, 12 years anyway. 14, I'm sorry. Well, ever how many it was, I can't even remember. Really. But anyway, these are corporate things, as I said, volatile. And the same thing happening here is happening other places all over the world. Let me tell you something. As you all know, when you come into the truth of the gospel and you try to give it out to somebody that's in a false religion, they're going to come against you. They don't want to hear about it. That's persecution. The only way that the elect are going to come out of some of those religions is if they get shook. And there's going to be a shaking. And they're going to see the mighty works of God through his food people. That's what's going to draw the people out of those churches. That's the only way. You remember back 2001. When it was 2011. When that happened, the churches were influxed with people. That people just, I mean, didn't last very long. But boy, I'm telling you, they ran right straight to the churches. What do we need to do to get saved? You know, because we're fixed to get into a war with you. I don't want to die, da, 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 da. And then when they figured out that, no, we're not going to get no war. It's going to be, everything's going to be fine. They left the church again. This time, the shaking is going to start, and it ain't going to stop. It's going to go all the way through. It's going to be a shaking from day one to day zero, ever what that is, 7 years down the road. And the son of perdition is still alive and well. I hope that helps, because everything that we're seeing here, what was it David said about the Gospels and Acts? The Gospels is the first 2.5 years of the tribulation. Read that for the, what's going to happen. And the last 2.5 years is Acts. Read that for Acts. That's the same thing. Same thing's going to happen. It ain't going to do nothing but ramp up. But if you're in God, in Christ, you don't have to worry about it. Christ is living in you. That's just like today I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, can I go walking? He said, if you take me with you, you can. And of course I did. I took him with me. And we had a great time out there. How many of you know you got Jesus living in you? And he goes everywhere you go with him. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, man.
Yeah, David did say that about the Gospels being the first 3.5 years and then the book of Acts, the last 3.5 years. Very early in the Gospels, when Jesus was still a little baby, there was the guy, the old guy. Remember the old guy, Simeon? He prophesied over the baby Jesus. He said that he's for the rising and falling of many. And he's a sign spoken against. Some people speak against the people who get saved. You know, when they become paralleled to that little baby, you know, we've been persecuted even for that. And anyways, I'm just saying that there are people who speak against that term born again, and you know. So, but there's more to that verse than just what I just mentioned here. So, but he's a sign spoken against. You know, he wants to bind up the testimony amongst his disciples. He wants this bound to you. He wants like cords holding you together on this, you know. So, he wants those testimonies with it, and you have them. You believe differently than you did not too long ago, and some of us are getting some really good valuable information from their stuff. I'm referring to someone I know, my son. You know, he had a bit of contact with the old church way, and then now he's getting really good revelations himself, you know, about what he's learning here. And these guys all remembered all the 101 questions you had in all the previous fellowships, and he's going through that too, and sometimes it's hard to even remember. So anyway, we got a new memory. We got a Christ memory, a Holy Spirit memory, because he's going to teach us all things and remind us of everything he taught us. So that's what we have to depend upon. So praise and glory to God. And living is the word of God, and active. So where is it active? Okay. And the righteous shall live by faith. So, you know, it's an eternal word for an eternal life. Praise God.
Amen.
Well, I think it's going to be.
Can I just give you the verse here that I found?
Yeah.
It's the one about the flesh and blood and the perfected. So it, Hebrews 2:14-15, since then the little children are sharers in blood and flesh. Okay, and then he talks about Jesus himself also in like manner partook of the same. That through death, kind of reminds me here of Philippians, where you're supposed to have this mind in you, that through death he might bring to naught him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and might deliver all these who from fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So that's the sharers in blood and flesh. Now, we don't actually have Jesus' physical body or his physical blood, but he goes to prepare a place for us, and no one takes his life. He lays it down of himself so he can take it up again. And that's a physical life that he's taking up again. And here's the one for perfection, perfected. It's in 1 John 4:11-12. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one hath ever beheld God. If we love one another, God abideth in us, and his love is perfected in us. So I think this is a good fellowship verse. God get the glory, and we he who loves the begetter loves those who are begotten also. So we have to help each other and have the Lord run us, to be the master over us, to be the Father and the Christ to be our life all the time, and to help us. Hereby we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he hath given up us of his Spirit. So that's the 13th verse of 1 John 4. Not too long ago we were studying 1 John 4, and I just went back and started reading up on it, because there was a discerning event there, and there's some really good stuff in there. Anyway, praise God.
Yeah, amen. Well, we're about out of time. Anybody got a prayer request? Mark your face in. We'll be a man next week. What is today? Today, Tuesday. We'll be at Thursday. Get back into it. Y'all like the Son of Perdition, and we learning anything? Okay. All right. Well, Father, I just praise you, and I thank you for giving David all of these revelations, and Lord, placing it in our heart to be sure and check things out, and to read the Word, keep in the Word, stay in the Word. And Lord, we ask and we pray right now for discernment and wisdom in the days to come, the things that we're going to need to know. Father, we thank you for our mind of Christ that you've given us. that can recall all of these verses that we need to have in the days to come when we witness to people. And Father, I praise you and I glorify you for that. Lord, prepare our hearts for the trials and tribulations that are coming ahead of us, that our faith would hold to the end, endure to the end, as you say. And we thank you for that, Father, that we don't get anxious about anything, because we trust you to bring us through all of the tribulations that is coming, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for saving our families. Don't kill them, just as long as you save them, Lord. And we praise you for that, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing and all the young men who are growing them up quickly. And we thank you for that, Father. Lord be to God. And it's just a wonder to me, Father, of the work that you're doing in these young men and young ladies. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Lord, be with us. Give us a good night's sleep or a good day's work. Yeah, whatever it is. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, y'all. I'll see you later, alligator.